morning to read God's Word. It comes to us from Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, we're going to begin reading verse 12 and then read through the end of the chapter. Exodus 31, beginning in verse 12, what we hear now is God's Word. And the Lord said to Moses, "You are to speak to the people of Israel and say, 'Above all, you shall keep my Sabbath, for this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath, because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore, the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout the generations as a covenant forever. It is a sign forever between me and the people of Israel that in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave to Moses, when he had finished speaking with him on Mount Sinai, the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone, written with the finger of God." Here we are in the reading of God's Holy Word. I would invite you to turn to the back of the Psalter hymnal to page 52 in the back section. 52. This is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 38. And this morning I will read the question and ask you to respond with the answer. And you find it on page 52 in the back of our Psalter hymnal. Question 103, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment?
First, the gospel ministry and education order be maintained, and that especially on the blessed day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, and let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin our way in this life with eternal silence.
Well, this morning we continue our study of the law of God, a law given to us as a rule of gratitude for us, teaching us how we should live, how we should respond to God, to the great gift of salvation. This morning, we come to the fourth commandment, dealing with the Sabbath day. Now, when I was growing up, I think our understanding of Sunday tended to focus on what we couldn't do. We couldn't go swimming on Sunday. We could ride our bikes for some reason, but we couldn't go swimming. There were certain things that were allowed and a lot of things that weren't allowed. And it seemed that the focus of Sunday was you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And while there is certain merit in setting off the day in that way, that really is contrary to the way the fourth commandment is given to us. It is a very positive command. Now, the first three commands, they have a negative component. You shall have no other gods. You shall have no images. You shall not use God's name in vain. And then, remember, it's the Sabbath day. It is a positive-looking, positive-focused command. And if in my history, if in our history, we have turned it something negative, then we've in
point of what God is giving to us. No other gods, no images, no false use of his name, but remember, observe, keep the Sabbath day holy. That is a positive command for us. So this morning, we're going to talk about not just what we shouldn't do on Sunday. I could give you a list of things, and then you go and check off that list and figure if you kept the day holy. But that's not the point. We're going to talk about the positive use of the Lord's Day. What should we be doing? And then, children, I'm going to talk about what work we should be doing. Now, I'm going to use that word work in a bit different way than maybe you're used to. Usually, we talk about work as that which mom and dad go to. They go to work. But I'm going to talk about the work of keeping the Sabbath holy as those things that we positively should do to honor God on this day. What is the work required on the Christian Sabbath? And really, that's where our confession picks up. It doesn't talk about what we shouldn't do. What is God's will in the fourth commandment? First, the gospel ministry and education for be maintained, that I, especially on the festive day of rest, regularly attend the assembly of God's people. Worship is that work that is required on the Lord's Day. That I regularly attend the assembly of God's people. The first thing you realize is that that work is not optional for us. It is appropriate. It is right. It is proper for us to be here today. And there's a certain truth about saying, you know, really, we don't have a choice of whether we come to church or not. God has given us this day set aside for worship. And we are, as his children, obligated to work on that day, obligated to come to those worship services. That's why it's so good to see you all here this morning, because you are doing what God wants you to do. You are where God wants you to be. That I regularly attend the assembly of God's people. And what takes place there in that worship service? What are we to actively pursue as we come to worship? To learn what God's Word teaches. What's our work on Sunday? Our work on Sunday is to come and to learn more about the Word of God. God has been so good to speak to us, he has not remained silent, he revealed himself to us. And it seems that during the week we can become so busy and so self-absorbed, we don't have time to get into the Word. But on Sunday, no matter how busy the week has been, on Sunday our job, our work, is to learn more about what the Word of God teaches. Now that takes place in a public setting. It takes place in worship. The pulpit is not a place for opinions. And if we come to hear one man's opinion about what a text may or may not say, we gather to hear what God has to say to us. We gather to be instructed in the Word of God from the pulpit, in a public setting. It's important for us to learn those lessons well, to be students of God's Word. That's why I encourage people, now I know everyone has a different learning style, but I encourage people as students to take notes on what's being taught on Sunday. And I particularly encourage parents, when you get home, ask your kids, what did the minister talk about today? And have them take those notes out. And they'll be age appropriate. When our kids were growing up, and when they were really young, they just simply had to draw a picture of something in the sermon. Draw a picture of something in the sermon. I think I mentioned to someone this past week, sometimes those were interesting pictures. I'd get home and say, oh, I didn't didn't know I talked about a hippopotamus today. You know, they can be a little bit broad sometimes. But it's amazing what kids will listen to, what they'll pick up, and the things that they will draw. And as our children grow, then write one sentence about what the minister talked about. And then write one sentence under each point in the outline that he talked about. And we teach the process of learning to listen to the Word of God. That's our work on Sunday. That's what we're called to do. That takes place in a public setting. It does take place at home, too, around the table. As we following worship, gather with our family for a meal together, and we talk about what we learned in church this morning. And we help our children to understand that this was the Word of God that was spoken. That's our job on Sunday. That's our Sunday work, to gather for worship, to learn what God's Word teaches us. We gather to learn what God's Word teaches. We gather to participate in the sacraments. The sacraments are those glorious pictures given to us by God in which we participate by faith. And we participate, I'm not sure how exactly put this, whether we are actively involved or not. Because with a baptism, we think we watch a baptism. And the parent participates, the child participates. But whenever we see a baptism, we are all to participate in that by faith, reminding ourselves of the glorious promises God has given to us. That just like this child receives the sign and seal of the wash away their sins, so we have received that sign and seal. It's a reminder to us. That's what sacraments do. Reminding us of God's grace. And every time there is a baptism, we all participate in that. We see that beautiful picture of the washing away of sins once again portrayed for us. So we come to the Lord's table. Whether or not we actively take and eat, we all in some way participate as we see that sign and seal once again. A reminder that we are to be daily strengthened by God Himself. That Jesus Christ, by His blood and Spirit, does strengthen us day after day, just like bread and wine strengthen us physically. And all of us participate in that. Those of us who have professed our faith in Christ take a more active participation. But kids, you participate too. Even as you watch, even as you see, even as you're reminded that Jesus Christ, by His body and blood, strengthens the life of believers. That's our work on Sunday, to participate in the sacraments. We are called to regularly attend the assembly of God's people, to learn what God's Word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly. I trust that we pray to God privately throughout the week. Trust that we have times of personal and family devotions throughout the week. But on Sunday, we as a body gather together. On Sunday, we together come before the throne of grace. And that's work for us. It's difficult enough in our personal devotions, at least it is for me, to keep my mind from wandering in prayer. So it is so easy to begin to pray about something and then it leaves our mind somewhere else and we become distracted so easily. And if that's difficult in our own personal prayers, how much more in the congregational prayer? Where someone is praying on our behalf and we're called to enter into that. That is work on Sunday. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. The work of taking part in the congregational prayer. Prayer that brings praise to God, a prayer that brings confession to God, a prayer that brings thanksgiving and the needs of God's people before His throne of grace. And together we join in that. When I was growing up, kids, we just called that the long prayer. Maybe you still call it the long prayer. But we have many things to bring before God, many reasons to praise Him, and we join in that. Many reasons to recognize Jesus Christ as our Savior. We join together in that. Many things to thank Him for. And so I hope that as the minister prays, in some ways you fill out those petitions with the particulars of your life. As we give God thanks for the food that you gave us, we say, oh yeah, this last week mom made such good meals for us, and we join in that prayer. We pray for those who are sick or infirm. You say, no, my brother, he's got a cold and he's sick, and we fill in that prayer. That's our work on the Lord's Day. To pray to God publicly as his people. And to bring Christian offerings for the poor. The offering is not filler time in the service. It's not to give the minister a little time to collect his thoughts before the sermon. It is an active part of our worship. To bring to God our tithes and our offerings. And to do that thankfully. To do it joyfully. Sometimes we make it difficult on ourselves when it comes to our giving. When we give, we tend to look at how much we're giving away, not at how much God allows us to keep. God is so generous to us. He asks from his people merely that we return to him a tithe, a tenth of all he has given to us. Well, even the government asks for that. They won't let us keep 90, that the government takes 15% or so away. God is more gracious. He says, you may keep 90% of all that I give to you. I simply ask to give 10% back to me. And that we tend to focus on what we're giving and not on God's grace in what we're keeping. This is our Christian Sabbath work that we do. To thankfully, to joyfully give gifts, offerings, tithes to God. That we bring Christian offerings for the poor. God gives us work to do on the Christian. To actively keep his day by gathering for worship. Of course, there are other works that we do as well. We think of works of necessity. We certainly, on the Christian Sabbath, are allowed to sustain life. There are meals we made. I hope, my wife has done her work of sustaining life today, and when I get home, there'll be a meal on the table for me. It's okay to do that. We may uphold life, we may sustain life on the Christian Sabbath. Even Jesus, walking through the field with his disciples, they took some grain and they rubbed their ears together and they ate. We may sustain life, we may prolong life on the Christian Sabbath. Of course, besides works of necessity, there are works of mercy that we do. Serving other people. Again, during the week, If your life is like mine, we tend to be so busy, and there's just so many things that fill our day that there's little time for service to others. And so God gives us the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. Set aside for worship. Set aside for a work of mercy, service to other people, doing good to others. If you can help with that. Is it not okay to do good on the Sabbath day? Of course, good is God defines. Caring for other people, serving other people, writing to missionaries, visiting those who need a visit. All those things can take place on Sunday because God's given us that day. A day in which we are called to work for him. Works of worship. Works of necessity. Works of mercy. This is our Sabbath keeping. Keeping is an active term, not a passive one. We actively keep the Lord's day holy. Now, of course, to do that, to properly do the work of the Christian Sabbath, will require rest for us. We have to rest from one thing to do another. We read in our text, in verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on that day, that soul shall be cut off from his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. The contract being made is there are 6 days given to us for our regular work, for our ongoing work, for our job work. In order for us to do our Sabbath work properly, we need to rest from that daily work. We need to set that regular daily work aside to have the time to keep the Sabbath holy. I said we have a hard enough time getting everything done during the days of the week. Can you imagine taking a regular day of work and trying to add to that public and private worship, mercy, serving other people? There's really not time on the Lord's Day. So we set aside one work, our daily work, to engage in our Sabbath. It's important for us to recognize a rest from that daily labor. 6 days you shall labor, on the seventh day you set that work aside. You rest from that work and you do what God has called you for Sunday, Sabbath. Parents, I think we have to help our kids in that. Because it's easy at that point to say, what is the Christian Sabbath? It's what we don't do. We don't go to work, we don't play this, we don't do that, and it's so easy for us to fall into that negative view of Sunday. Rather than showing them, look, we're setting this aside because God commanded us to, so that we may work in other ways. I'd like to suggest that right now we set the pattern for that. Parents, you set the pattern for your kids. College students, you are setting a pattern right now for the rest of your lives. I'm going to be very bold here, college students, and suggest that your daily work is ongoing education at the schools you go to. Same is true for our high schoolers and grade schoolers. Your daily work is your education. And I'm going to suggest this morning that to have time to rest, to have time to do Christian work on the Sabbath, that on Sunday, you set that work aside. Your work now, throughout the week, is to read your assignments, is to write your papers, is to do your homework. Rest on Sunday. Set it aside. Allow yourself time to focus on the work of the Sabbath. Now, don't go to your prof tomorrow and say, well, I don't have my paper done because everything might have told me to rest, okay? 6 days you shall labor. 6 days. Doesn't mean you have Saturday off, okay? You should be working on Saturday. That's your time for work. On Sunday, allow yourself the great privilege of resting from that daily labor. High schoolers, grade schoolers, I encourage you in the same way. Set aside the books and rest. And give yourself to the worship of God, the public and private teaching and prayer and all of those things. The pattern is set now. And it's easy for us to even take our work during the week, that good work that we do, that honorable work that we do, and somehow try to bring it into Sunday, kind of through the back door. Well, look, if my boss calls me to work, wouldn't I be showing him what a Christian employee is like? Wouldn't I be showing him that I am loyal, that I am trustworthy, that I can do all these things, even though it's Sunday? And we try to somehow say that if we bring our daily work, our weekly work into the Sabbath, it'll be a good thing. God has said it. We don't baptize our work on Sunday, that daily work that we do, by somehow saying it's a good witness to our bones or witness to others. And we say we can worship God just as well on the golf course, where it's beautiful during the summertime. But it's not the same. Yes, God made all creation, but we have to set aside those things for the sake focusing on this, on the work he's given us to do. Because the Sabbath for us, the Christian Sabbath for us, is a picture, it's a sign, it's a symbol. Verse 17. It is a sign forever
between me and the people of Israel. That in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. The reason we work for 6 days and rest on that one, the reason we work in our daily labor and work in our Sabbath labor on that one, is because that's what God did. We are patterning our life after the God, the creator of the heavens and earth, and we honor his structure. God labored for 6 days in the creation of the world. His work of creation went on day after day after day. For 6 days he labored, but on the seventh day, he set apart that daily labor, and he rested and was refreshed. He set aside his work of creation that he might focus on a different work, the work of recreation for his people. He set aside that creative activity to begin his recreative activity, that activity that calls us here today. For God, once Adam fell into sin, did not leave him there, but God began a different work, a work of reconciling the fallen, sinful man to himself. And God made a promise of his Son, Jesus Christ, who would come and be that perfect reconciliation, that perfect Sabbath rest we could have. Man no longer has to labor to try to earn God's favor. But the Sabbath is a reminder that we may rest in Christ, in what he has done, in his finished work. We don't have to keep working. We don't have to try to earn our salvation. God set aside a creative work to do a redemptive work. And because of that redemption, we are here this Sunday. We are here setting aside our daily labor. We are here focusing on Sabbath keeping. Because God set aside one work to do another. My confession asks, what is God's will in the fourth commandment? Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways. That the Lord work in me through his Spirit. And so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. Every Sunday is a reminder to us. A reminder of what God has done in Jesus. Christ worked that we may rest in him. Christ's labor did all the work of righteousness required. And those are granted, credited, given to us as children of God. We rest in what he has done, and therefore we rest from our evil ways. The Sabbath is a reminder to show our thanksgiving to God. We don't have to do certain things to be found in his favor. But Christ is in all that we might rest from those ways and therefore show God our thanks by resting from our evil ways as well. And already beginning in this life, the eternal Sabbath. We long for that. We long to spend eternity with our God. This is a foretaste. God grants us a foretaste of heaven Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Gathering with the people of God in his presence, bringing him our praise, today is a foretaste of heaven. Why would we miss that? Why would we think anything is more important than having that little piece of heaven already? God grants us that blessing every Sunday as we come to do our Sabbath work, as we come to worship him. This is a blessing that goes on to the generations, Moses says. Year after year, generation after generation, we teach our children that Sunday is special. It's a day to do things. A day to go to worship. So answer the question, do I have to go to church today? Oh, that's the wrong question. Do we get to once again?
Do we get to have that foretaste once again? Has God been so good to us to allow it again another week?
God calls us to remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, to set aside our regular life, and to enjoy the work He's given us, the word of worship. May God strengthen us today that we might keep His day holy. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for the pattern you placed in creation. That even as you yourself worked 6 days and rested on one from that labor, you call us to do the same. May we today, O God, set aside that daily labor and focus upon you, on the joy of the Christian Sabbath, on the joy of what we are allowed to do on this Lord's Day. To gather with your people for worship, to care for ourselves physically, to do those works of mercy and care for others. Lord God, help us not to waste this day. The temptation is always there to so easily go back to our daily labor, but allow us the joy of knowing we're called to rest and called to rest in you. Thank you, Jesus Christ, who sanctifies. Who is our Sabbath rest, and the one who encourages us to rest as well. Hear our prayer, O God, for we pray in Jesus' name.